And this is Dean Martin.
And Jerry Lewis with him. We will save and sail, you cocksuckers. Cheat on me.
This is just the beginning of the wildest, weirdest adventure you've ever seen.
I don't care for blame, fair, I'm not the sharing kind.
Now, anything goes. And everything grows. And this is where the fun really began.
I wonder if this makes everything grow.
Hey, will you cut it out and leave it alone, huh?
Listen, Freddy boy, if I want to try some of this stuff, just don't you try and stop me, understand?
And try it they did.
Going to take over this town.
Now, first of all, there's going to be a 9 o'clock curfew for all adults.
It's wild. It's way out.
It's Village of the Giants.
Whether you like it or not, little man, we're just going to have to show you what's good for you. That's all.
Maybe we don't like your club either.
You're in it anyway.
See what happens when young rebels explode 30 feet tall. Village of the Giants.
Hey, now what happened to the music? Let's wail.
Yeah, come on, let's dance.
Thank you.
to put him down.
I told them to bring me one, and I'd believe it.
Well, I can't say I blame you, Sheriff.
But Flynn's still missing.
Deep into caverns whose very air is putrefied by the stench of death. They search ceaselessly for a missing man, or possibly a giant spider no one really believes exists. Except the high school teacher who knows his science and his students.
There'll be more giant spiders coming into the world. They may even be hatching from their eggs in some remote spot right now. Do you realize how easy it would be for them to overcome us humans?
A horrifying spectacle. Its existence shocks and fascinates the world of science. Its gigantic claws capable of crushing a man. Or tearing a woman apart as if she were a fly. But nothing sends the cats like the presence of out-of-this-world horror. A heart-stopping experience that defies man's imagination. That shrinks every woman's skin with the tension of terrifying withdrawal, as if 1,000 spiders were taking possession of her body. You'll never believe it until you see it. You'll never forget the touch of the spider.
To our world if massive, monstrous man-beasts like this invade us. Flown a captive to a West Coast metropolis in an Army cargo plane, his arrival catapults the whole city into an ocean of fear. For this colossal beast is at war with a world, our world, a world his savage instincts can only hate.
An airlift is being set up and food will be parachuted down to him. He'll be supplied with everything he needs. Get all the aircraft into the air at once. The The colossal man is loose in Los Angeles.
Look! Look at the giant!
Panic grips the civilized world in blood-freezing horror as the immeasurable power of this colossal beast threatens a war of brutality such as we've never known.
Explosive birth of a strange new world, the planet Nova, millions of miles away in the eerie silence of outer space. Man's rocket takeoff on an amazing voyage of exploration with a strange crew of four daring adventurers on board. A professor from an American university. A biochemist to run tests on whatever life exists. A doctor to check the known and the unknown medical data. A mineralogist to search for the radioactive materials that gave this new world birth. See their terrifying battle with savage beasts never known on Earth. The wild fear when mankind is brought face to face with giant mastodons from eons long past. A prehistoric world comes to life again today, millions of miles away in space. The horror of huge, maddened monsters raging for the kill. The Battle of the Titans.
Hand me that Barry pistol.
Are you thinking of Ralph and Pat?
I hate to bring them into this. It's our only way out of here.
Somewhere that headless monster
still wanders through the night. He was a monster, but they made him wrong. Look out, here he comes.
Of all history's prophets, none has a greater degree of credibility than H.G. Wells, with his predictions of moon landings, ray guns, sonic signaling devices. Is Wells right again in his prediction of dangers to come in Empire of the Ants? In this fantastic tale, Wells tells the chilling story of a colony of ants who feed on atomic waste, causing them to grow into large, voracious monsters.
Kyle, let's get out of here. Come on.
And these giant ants are actually able to control humans.
He needs us. That's why it has to be this way. Why we must obey. At first, the people don't understand. They must be forced into submission. After their indoctrination, they realize that the ants only want us to take care of them and work for them, feed them. That's the way it should be, for they are superior.
They don't want us to go that way, and they don't want us to go back the way we came.
My God, they're hurting us like cattle!
H.G. Wells, Empire of the Ants. For they shall inherit the Earth sooner than you think.
More frightening than his War of the Worlds. More imaginative than his time machine. Now, H.G. Wells' masterpiece of science fiction, The Food of the Gods. The terrifying tale of man fighting for his life against an ecology gone berserk. This is the last chance for an unsuspecting world against harmless animals and insects made huge and vicious by the food of the gods. Marjo Gortner. Pamela Franklin. Ralph Meeker. Ida Lupino. H.G. Wells, The Food of the Gods, for a taste of hell. Rated PG.
John Agar is the nice-looking young man, introduced by John Hoyt to pretty June Kenney. And when boy meets girl, well, they do what comes naturally. But the loss of love has made this mild-mannered man into a maniac. A maniac who wants to make you a plaything. And the fearsome fact is, he knows how to do it.
Friend.
How would you like to be a living doll this madman can do with as he pleases? A monster his own woman had reason to flee. See, the world that the child in each of us knows. See, a baby doll take a bubble bath in a coffee can.
What are you talking about? Sally, tell her. He said tonight he was going to kill us all.
It only takes one of us to go for help.
Feel the fantastic fear of living in a normal world.
being dwarfed by people many times your size.
Perverse lips, far from thee. In other words, this is just another way of saying keep your heart by keeping your lips. You can't keep your lips if you allow your lips to consistently express your displeasure by means of profanity and cursing and swearing. I've often said to high schoolers that if a guy or a girl has to stoop into the muck of the gutter to express himself with dirty verbal filth, he's only telling the whole community and the whole world that he possesses minute mentality. I said this to a group of high schoolers in the Sarnia area one time. I said, kids, I said, why do you have to stoop so low to express yourself so consistently with verbal filth that's not right and that's wrong? And when I had finished talking to the high schoolers in the collegiate there, I walked out with my host to the front of the high school, and there were three girls and two fellas standing at the entrance of the high school. And of course, when they saw me coming, they all turned into a little bit of a huddle. And I thought, uh-oh, five characteristic kids in high school. They aren't all like this, but some of them are. Kids that don't want to be told anything, don't want to be advised, they've got all the answers. You know, a lot of high schoolers are like that. They think they know it all, and yet if their brains were dynamite, they wouldn't have enough power to blow their noses. And these kids were just like that. And of course, when I walked by, it wasn't so much, kids, what the fellas said, but it was what the girls said. And every second word was a curse word. Every second word was a word of blasphemy. Every second word was dirty and raw. And the average clean-cut Canadian teenage girl should have blushed and been ashamed to even stand in the presence of such dirty verbal filth. But of course, these kids were telling me, look, guy, you peddle that stuff someplace else. We don't have to listen to you. We want to talk this way, pooey on you. We'll talk the way we want to. Some kids are like that. Other kids can be coached and some can be taught. Have you ever noticed how often when a kid swears, or even an adult, how often he takes a word out of the book of books? You listen to the next time you hear somebody blowing his cork with verbal filth and profanity, and you listen to him use the word hell or Christ or Jesus or God or Almighty or blood or damn or any combination of such. This is why it is, teenagers, that God says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For I will not hold you guiltless if you take my name in vain. Keep your heart by keeping your lips. High schoolers like to laugh and have a good time. They like to enjoy life. And when I was a high schooler, I liked to laugh. In fact, you found out since I've been here that I still enjoy a real good kick on the right kind of a joke. But you know, there are some uncoached, uneducated, maybe some untaught Canadian high schoolers who like to find their fun in jokes which aren't clean. In fact, I have it on pretty good authority that 99 and 99 100% of the jokes that high schoolers tell are dirty jokes based upon sin, which is spelled S-E-X. And I know you like to laugh, and I know you like to kick up your heels and have a good time, but I know that these kind of stories, or this kind of story, can only leave you with a residue of filth in your mind that you won't soon forget. And I know of high schoolers who have even dared to tell this kind of story, and then they have been crazy enough to go out in a secret place with one of the opposite sex and try what the dirty story had to suggest.
When this old world has let you down, and friends no longer want you around, when you feel burdened down with hurt, and trouble seems so hard to bear, talking to your baby, call my name. Don't you hear what I'm saying? Call my name. Oh, 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 oh.
Call my name.
And I'll be there. If you feel that you're all alone and sick inside, away from home, when you no longer want to try or care if you should live or die, call my name. You'll be talking to your baby. Call my name. Don't you hear what I'm saying? Call my name. Oh, 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 oh.
Call my
name. And I'll be there. And blues come calling round your door. Call my name. Hear me talking to your baby. Call my name. Don't you hear what I'm saying? Call my name. In a time to need me, in a time to want me, baby, all you gotta do is call me. All you gotta do is call me.
You are listening to the Generation Exploitation Podcast and Laugh Tracks, a show about comedy on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. My name is Cliff Nesteroff, and that was Them, Call My Name, a great mod rock song of the late 1960s. British Invasion stars Them, of course, fronted by the young Van Morrison. That song, written and produced by a fellow named Tommy Scott, who came up with most of the material for the group Them. And that song sounded an awful lot like The Animals, taken from their 45 single on Parrot Records, Call My Name. Before that, we heard from a Christian lecturer named Barry M. Moore, a Canadian Christian LP titled Teacher Talks to Teens. Recorded in London, Ontario in 1963, Barry Moore lecturing teenagers about the perils of cuss words and swearing. I believe it was one of Barry's only spoken word LPs. The rest of his several records were all him singing gospel music. Before Barry M. Moore, Teacher Talks to Teens, we heard We Ain't Got Nothing Yet by the Blue Magoos off a Mercury 45. Before that, we heard the trailer from Attack of the Puppet People, a 1958 B-movie directed by a guy named Burt I. Gordon, a exploitation drive-in trash meister who made all kinds of dreck in the 1950s, 60s, and 70s. And we listened to the audio from several of his films and film trailers. Attack of the Puppet People, starring the cardboard actor John Ager, and several others who get shrunk down to small sizes, which was a change of pace for director Burt I. Gordon, who specialized in making movies about things that grew to enormous sizes. For instance, the trailers to the two films we heard before that were from Food of the Gods and Empire of the Ants, two H.G. Wells bastardizations. Food of the Gods was a movie about giant farm animals. Empire of the Ants, you might be able to guess, was about giant ants, starred Joan Collins. Listen to both the trailers for those. Before that, we heard Gene Moss as Dracula off of one of my favorite novelty albums called Dracula's Greatest Hits on RCA, and the new Frankenstein and Johnny song, arranged by Billy Riley, Gene Moss, the voice of Dracula, and great cover art by Jack Davis, the famous illustrator and Mad Magazine employee. Before Gene Moss, we hear the trailer for Burt I. Gordon's first directorial effort, a movie about giant lizards called King of the Dinosaurs from 1954. And before that, we heard the trailer to War of the Colossal Beast, which was Burt I. Gordon's sequel to the film The Amazing Colossal Man, about a giant man wreaking havoc over Nevada. And in reality, that sequel, War of the Colossal Beast, is really just all of Amazing Colossal Man told again in flashback mode. When the man who was amazing and colossal wakes up from a sleep, he goes, "What happened?" And then they just show you the first movie all over again, quite literally for over 65 minutes. Before that, we heard the John Barry-composed theme song to a fine British thriller called Seance on a Wet Afternoon, here performed by the swell Hammond organ master Sir Julian, who found success in the 1960s covering famous popular songs on his organ for United Artists. But this track, taken off a 45 single on Ascot Records, an early single for Sir Julian, it rocked. Before that, we heard the trailer from another Burt I. Gordon film, Earth vs. the Spider, referred to in this trailer as just The Spider. Another fine 1959 piece of trash, starring, again, B-movie legend, cardboard ex-husband of Shirley Temple, John Agar. And we also started off this set with the Village of the Giants trailer, a great B-movie from the early 60s, starring Beau Bridges, Tony Basil, and Little Ronnie Howard, with appearances by the Beau Bridges and the Beau Brummels in one movie. And the plot of that film, of course, is giant teenagers growing to enormous heights, directed by Burt I. Gordon. And that amazing song that we heard in there that sound like surf guitar slow motion was composed and performed by the guitar legend Jack Nitzsche, who did most of the soundtrack for Village of the Giants.
you so much, darling. Bless your little heart. You know, it's so much crime. Oh, I never heard of so much. Three men walked into an apartment this morning. Wasn't nobody there but an old woman around 85 years old and her two young daughters. Pretty girls. I guess around 18, 19. Walked into the room and said, throw up your hands. Say, all right, give me your money, your jewelry, everything you got. And then I'm going to attack each one of you. The girl fell down on her knees and said, oh, please, do anything you want to me. But don't bother my dear old grandmother. Grandma said, shut up, Gail. You heard what the man said. And then on top of that, darling, they warned me to death about, say, Mom, how come you look so young? And Mom, did you really mean what you said on the record about old men? Yes, I meant that, darling. When I said old man couldn't do nothing for me but bring me a message from a young man. He brought it. And the young man said, stay with the old man. But I'm not going to do it because I found out when he said I do, I found out he couldn't. And I'm not going through this world looking for memories. Oh, that old man was too old for Mom at that time. He was older than white thread. You know that's getting old. Woman walked into a bar. Her husband was sitting up at the bar. She said, there you are, sitting up here at the bar drinking, enjoying yourself, having fun, having a good time. Bartender, give me a drink. I want you to give me the same thing he's drinking, and I want you to give me a double of it. The bartender gave her some of that 100-proof granddad. She drank it down the top of her head, almost flew off. She looked at him and says, oh, goodness, how can you drink that terrible stuff? Oh, my goodness. He's saying, you thought I was having a good time. She went on hold. After she got home in about an hour, he walks in. She met him at the door. She says, well, I guess you found out that home is the best place after all. He said, I don't know. It's the only place open. Man walked into a psychiatrist's office. He said, mister, I know you're an expensive man, but I've just got to find out something. Says, how much would it cost for two questions? He said, $50, $25 a question. Says, and hurry up, I'm in a big hurry. Said, first question. He said, well, the first question is, do you think it's possible that I could be in love with an elephant? The doctor says, why, of course not. Impossible. I never heard tell of it in medical history. It's impossible for you to be in love with an elephant. Next question. He said, the next question is, do you know anybody that would like to buy a very large engagement ring? But listening to the telephone and looking at the radio, I got a telephone call this morning from one of my ex-boyfriends, Cab Calloway, one of Mom's ex-boyfriends. Well, we never was exactly married, but we did some heavy rooming, you know? That is, when we were younger, when it made sense. Nah, we just friends. Oh, I used to love Cab. Wake up every morning, his hair be laid all over the pillow. Mine be laid on the dresser. But he was mean to Mom, though. Oh, I think that's the meanest boyfriend I ever went with. Cab Calloway. Oh, he treated Mom like a dog. In fact, he called me a dog. And sometime I wished I had have been a dog and he'd have been a tree. Luther, what you got on the agenda? Huh? Oh, that's Luther. That's one of my Peter Rabbits. There's another Peter Rabbit. And that's just an ordinary rabbit back there in the corner. I don't know where that rabbit come from. He had nerve enough to ask Mom, Mom, who's my daddy? And he's a rabbit. I told him I didn't know his name, but I had his You know, mice and number, everything'd be all right. You know. But with the kind permission of Luther at the piano, Mama'd like to do a little number for you, and I want you children to join in softly. I ain't been on here long enough. It is a song. Not 25 minutes? No? Tell another one? Oh, I got a million of them. One of my children that I love very much is in the audience, and Mom got to do a little song for him, and I hope you children like it. This is an opera. Of course, a lot of people didn't know I was an opera field. I didn't know it either until I operated on something. And this opera is from Corman. I'm not responsible for your mind. I don't know where my own is. I'm going to make it as common as I possibly can. Change the lights on me, son. Make me look like Lena Horne, if you can. Not Beulah, Lena, son. Luther, the opera. Wait a minute, Luther. You got to kind of straighten up and wait for this kind of heavy stuff like operas, you know. Give me that again and let it be more eugenic. Am I looking sexy, honey? A tennis game in Forest Hills between me and Althea Gibson was ready to begin. And the nervous players was pacing the floor, wondering who's going to win. And a crowd of eager tennis fans had all gathered in their stalls when all of a sudden someone discovered nobody had any balls. What? No balls? They went into the dressing rooms and looked in closets and halls and went among the audience and asked the guys and dolls. Nobody had any balls. 50 or 60 physicians was there. 80 or 90 opticians was there. Stokowski and all his musicians was there. No balls. 150 men to bum the axes was there. 200 men to throw taxes was there. 96 men from Slappy Max's was there. No balls. 150 British sailors was there. 92 Philadelphia tailors was there. 86 San Quentin jailers was there. Ballless. All of a sudden, someone gave out a yell that echoed through the walls. What seems to be holding up the game? And somebody hollered, balls. They had to give the money back. And the game had to be called. On the count, if Pops would say again, oh, Mama, no balls.
Freddy, what a guy in front of me. Ladies and gentlemen, the man who has broken all box office records here at Russell's. Will you welcome on stage the fabulous Tom O'Connor?
Ah, bless you. Bless you and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I must say, it's nice to be back at Russell's. Anyone who's here for the first time, you've probably gathered in the couple of hours that you've spent here already how suave and debonair and how quick-thinking the gentlemen in the audience really are. Mind you, we are quick. Like the bloke that went into the butcher's. He said, hey, pal, there's a sausage on the floor. He said, it's all right, Jim, I've got my foot on it. But it's a natural trait, because being honest, and we can talk freely, but amongst our own. If we're nothing else round here, by God, we're brilliant. OK, if we've got a fault, it's probably modesty. I mean, it annoys me, it must annoy you, the fact that we didn't stand up years ago and have ourselves counted because we could have taken over the world. Look how fast we can think. Like the woman shouting at her husband, will you put the kettle on? He said, I can't get my arm through the spout. Speed. We can think quickly when we're in pain. And the bloke went to the chemist. He said, me head.
It's like that. You can't see it, but it's like that. Give me something for me head.
The chemist said, well, nothing acts faster than anodyne. He said, well, give us a packet of nothing, will you? Because it's bursting.
It's the speed. And we don't abuse our gifts. You won't find people from round here going out and purposely taking the mickey out of others. We wouldn't do that. Good God. If anything, we try to help. Like the little old lady met the student. She said, what to do, son? He said, I'm at the university taking medicine. She said, is it doing you any good? Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom O'Connor. Whoa! Come on! That's it.
Bats in my belfry and rain on my roof. Even my teddy bear stays so aloof. Flies that go walking on leashes so long. Even my parakeet wears a sarong. Sometimes I wonder, but mostly I don't. I always say yes, but usually I won't. Elephants flying way off to the moon. Even my sundial stopped at high noon.
Signs that say quiet and yo-yos on strings. Ride on a carousel, grab the brass rings. Aches that I feel on my window pane. Rolled up umbrellas are out in the rain. Foxes of Harrow, please stand in a line. Tarzan's arriving on the 620 vine. Mostly I end up with egg on my face. I can't keep the bulbs lit in my fireplace. Bats in my belfry, polars are bare. Polish the cannon in the town square. We'll all take a ride on my new pogo stick. Here comes the night nurse. Cover up, quick.
Thoughts that need thinking like spring has been sprung. Fantasy helps all of us to think young. Everyone knows that penguins go formal.
So who's there among us to say who is normal?
That's Napoleon XIV, also known as Jerry Samuels, off his LP, his only LP, They're Coming to Take Me Away, Haha, on Warner Brothers Records. We just heard the weird track, Bats in My Belfry. Before Jerry Samuels and Napoleon XIV, we heard an obscure British comedy LP from a guy named Tom O'Connor. His LP, Live in Liverpool, stand-up comedy in some nightclub from 1975 on Decca Records. Before that, Do the Freddy, a Capitol Records rock and roll 7-inch classic by Freddy and the Dreamers. Before that, we heard some great comedy from Moms Mabley on Chess Records. Moms Wows, the name of the LP. And I heard this week that Wanda Sykes is trying to get a biopic made about Moms Mabley. And, of course, she is vying to play the title role, so we'll see. Before that, we heard the M Squad theme song composed by Count Basie from the 1950s crime show starring Lee Marvin off the RCA Victor LP, the music from the M Squad from 1959. That does it for this edition of the Generation Exploitation Podcast and Laugh Tracks, a show about comedy on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. A reminder to check out my websites, classicshowbiz.blogspot.com, for all kinds of classic comedy and old television talk show clips from the 50s, 60s, and 70s. Stuff from the Mike Douglas Show, the Merv Griffin Show, the Dick Cavett Show, the Joey Bishop Show, right now the Jerry Lewis Show, the Tonight Show with Steve Allen, the Tonight Show with Jack Parr, the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, and a lot more. classicshowbiz.blogspot.com. Also, if you like wonderful animation from the 1940s, 50s, 60s, and 70s, check out my other site, saturdaymorn.blogspot.com. Also, check out my articles every weekend on the WFMU blog site, Beware the Blog, at blog.wfmu.org. And email your feedback about the podcast to generationexploit@yahoo.com.
quitting time, quitting time. Like a big dollar bill waiting on a little thin dime. Quitting time, quitting time. Wanna find my baby by the docks at quitting time. Well, I don't mind working, I gotta make a dollar to spend. Yeah, and I'll sure enough spend it, then I'll have to make a dollar again. Don't wanna make a fortune that I'll only have to leave behind. Wanna make an honest living, drop my trailer off at quitting time. Quitting time,